You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price. The Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T. Boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And we've got a very special guest for you. But before we get to that, Kyle, it's been a minute since you've been on the show. So throw out your social media first.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle. You can, other Kyle, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. That's K-A-Y-O-S. You can find me on Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. You can also find my other show, Wakanda Podcast Is This, W-A-K-I-N-D-A Podcast Is This, on Facebook. And you can find it anywhere you listen to a podcast.
Dev?
Yeah, this is Devin. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E-6-3. You can find me on Instagram at Allstate No Sizzle. And speaking of Allstate No Sizzle, the podcast is coming back January 6th. So make sure you guys subscribe to that now. Basically, anywhere you can hear this show, you can hear that show. And also, make sure you join the Reality Era News Group on Facebook. We talk all kinds of wrestling.
And last but not least, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at all of our social medias at KO3C Pod, on YouTube, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast, and Facebook. If you're watching this, you already know, but those of you that are going to see this in podcast form, you can check us out on Facebook at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast. Well, without any further ado, Dev, I'll let you handle the intro for our guest tonight.
Oh, I've been waiting for this one for a long time, man.
Oh,
this
Jesus
is,
Christ.
This is a
that's what she said.
Literally.
This is one of my white whale interviews, one I've wanted to do for a while. So in 1990, a group of men besides this today. Their names are Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, and Ronnie DeVoe. And these wise men once said, never trust a big butt and a smile. And our guest is the epitome of that process.
True.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, the one-eyed, thick-thighed, weapon of ass destruction, Double D Rose. Double D, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I told you I had something special for you. So there you go.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew Devin's wanting to do this interview for quite a minute, as we all have, but I figured Devin would do the introduction justice.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I appreciate it.
So, well, Dev, let me ask you go first.
Questions. One thing I left out of my intro is the first question I wanted to ask. Where did the Buns of Steel challenge come from?
Well, I've been wanting people to see me, like, being an African American woman using her butt as a weapon. Like, people could, you know, they can get turned off by that quick, because the first thing you think about when you see an African woman, an African American woman, and, you know, something involving her butt, you think of like twerking or something like that. And I wanted to get away from that as much as possible. I wanted people to see me as what I was, what I am. And that is a weapon of ass destruction, or all destruction, however you want to see it. And with my Buns of Steel, I thought to myself, you know what? In order to prove that I can, like, that my buns are literally dangerous, why not give have a challenge that allows any male or female wrestlers to take a chair to my butt as hard as they possibly can. And if they can hurt it, basically, I thought of, hey, if it can dent a chair, it can dent a skull. So,
I mean, that's a pretty safe bet. But I have to ask, since you totally led into one of the questions that I have on my notes for the show. So with you, you know, having the moniker, you know, the weapon of mass destruction and things like that, do you feel like at all that's kind of like either A, pigeonholed you, or B, kind of like held you back in any way from like doing anything in wrestling thus far?
I think it's both. Honestly, like I said before, especially wrestling in the South, like it's something that, you know, they're not used to seeing. So, and that's the thing. I feel the fact that it's so different and it's so unique because, like, other than Rikishi, who is the GOAT, like, honestly, who has done something like this? And not just this, but a female. You know what I mean? So, I'm pretty sure it pushed people away, without a doubt. But that's the thing with originality. You know, first people are turned off by it because it's unlike something they've never seen before. But then it catches their eye. They can't help but to look because it's something they've never seen before.
Kyle?
Yes. One of the matches that it really just made me kind of love wrestling was your encounter with Joey Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
So you had the weapon of mass destruction against a guy that has a magic penis. And that's just
the magic penis. What the fuck?
That's just a beautiful thing. I mean, the guy got his penis over. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. Randy, you were supposed to add the rim shot. But for intergender wrestling, that is starting to become something that is starting to look like that is where the industry is starting to go. You have everything Tessa Blanchard's doing in Impact. You had WWE at one time was thinking of pushing a Nia Jax and Dean Ambrose feud. What are your thoughts on intergender wrestling, and where do you see it kind of progressing as we're getting ready to go to 2020?
Well, honestly, it has no choice but to go up because it's different. And, you know, when people see something they're not used to, of course you're going to have the haters, you know, that are crapping on it but that's what you have with everything that people see for the first time. Like, originality is like the latest fad, and especially in wrestling. But it's like I tell myself, you know, you may have a King of Dong style, you may have a Jax, you may have a Native Beast, but if your promotion don't have a road, who are you really the top promotion?
I mean, fair point.
Ooh, true.
Dev?
Well, since we were talking about intergender wrestling, question that I have is, have you ever had a match with the Human Tornado? And if so, what will win, the balls of steel or the buns of steel?
The buns of steel. The buns of steel conquers all. Like I said, people, they ask, is it weapon of ass destruction or weapon of all destruction? It's whatever you choose, but there is only one world. So everybody falls to the damnesia.
So
we need to get that going, man. Human Tornado versus Double D Rose, man. Festivus. Get that going.
Festivus, book it.
I was going to say something about that because I think I saw something in your story or somebody else's was talking about Festivus. I was like, man, they clearly are listening to the show.
Well, me and Kev kind of stole that shit because that's like 35 years old from Seinfeld, but it works for us.
I mean, shit. What in wrestling hasn't been stolen, though? I mean, realistically. I mean, fair point. That being said, yeah. You know, Kyle brought up the whole Joey Ryan thing. So, Joey Ryan, anyone that doesn't know, I mean, obviously, just from what we said, I mean, obviously, the guy's a polarizing figure as far as wrestling goes. So
you either like his dick or you don't.
What the fuck? Way to throw off my flow, asshole. Anyways, with that being said, you know, he's very polarizing. You know, what were your thoughts on going into a match with him? Did you just see it as big opportunity? Or how do you feel now that you guys are on the other side of it? You know, what are your thoughts on your matches with Joey? And how do you feel like that helped either propel or did it hurt your career at all?
I would like a rematch. I would love a rematch against Joey Ryan. And I feel that this match, I definitely felt that it was something everybody wanted to see. But I feel that it was just a sample of what we could do. It showed our strengths. It showed our weaknesses. And it shows that when we get into ring, when we get into the ring together, there's no telling what could happen.
Dev?
Well, this question is, I don't want you to be mad at me for bringing this up. What?
That's a great way to start a question you don't want somebody to be pissed off by.
I'm going to tread lightly, but can you tell the people who Aisha Sunshine is?
She's just a figment of my imagination.
Good answer. Good answer. Would that be I don't even know where to go from that one, Dev. But with that being said, or go ahead, Dev.
Just don't hurt me on a Friday when I'm at the show. That's all I have.
Hey man, if he gets his ass kicked, we will make sure that it's on our YouTube channel.
You'll notice him. He'll be the big gentleman with the Kango that's smiling awkwardly and waving at you.
I just want to ask the question, but I don't want to get hurt Friday night at the Knights of Columbus Center when you come into town for the show. I apologize for asking that question.
No, that's
with that being said, we're talking about the show this Friday. Shine 63 is going to be at the Livonia Knights of Columbus, same place we were in the same building for Evolve this past Friday. So
where Knockouts and Three Counts was perfed.
Literally, that's where the show the show was thought of.
The inception.
So that being said, with Shine 63 coming up this week, we just saw that there was a huge tryout with a lot of guys and girls from WWN Live that have been on there. We had past guests of the show, Stephen Wolf, Aja Pereira was there. Can you speak a little bit to how it feels on your guys' end, you know, working with Shine, and you guys are getting like the integration of NXT talent, and you've had people like Eva Lise and Mercedes Martinez and all these people that have been all over the world. How does that help for you guys, you know, as a promotion and just the great talent that they're bringing into these shows?
Well, there are different, it allows to bring in different styles of wrestling, like different talent from all over the world to work in WWN. It's a chance to work better talent. It's a chance to learn from men and women of excellent talent. So it basically helps. It pushes us to our limit. I would say that, because everybody wants to leave their mark at WWN. So now we get the chance, we get the opportunity to do that, especially with this Shine Nova tournament coming up. You know, it's now that Shotzi Blackheart gave up the Nova. So now that it's vacant, now I have a chance to be the first ever one-eyed Shine Nova champ ever in history. So that's something that will definitely help leave my mark in this wrestling world. And the fact that I get to do it at Shine, like, this really pushes me to be my best.
Dev?
Well, I think part of the question that a lot of people probably ask you anytime you do an interview is about your eye. You are the one-eyed, thick-thighed, whipping-ass destruction. So the obvious question is, how did you lose your eye, and how does that losing your eye, you know, affect you in the ring?
Well, I would like to say I lost my... I basically took on the devil. That's what I tell people when they ask about it. It's just an obstacle that I had to overcome, something that I've been dealing with since I was 7. And, you know, it's in my way of kryptonite almost. Like, it shows that, you know, I I definitely, you know, I'm limited, but don't see it as a weakness. In fact, you should be afraid of the fact that now you not only do you have to worry about the bums of steel, but you have to worry about all this power in front of you that you have to take down.
Very fair point. So you talked about that you've dealt with that since you said you were seven. You know, what was it that got you into wrestling in the first place? Like, what was the first thing you remember that kind of got you like, yo, I'm liking wrestling? Or was it something that didn't come till later in life?
I always felt that I was meant to be a part of wrestling, that I could leave my mark. I would say probably since I was three or four. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, my father would take my brothers to the WCW. So like wrestling was always a part of my life, and I grew up watching it, and I realized this is something that I wanted to do, something that I know I could leave my mark, inspire people. And that's what I tend to do. That's what I intend to do.
With that being said, you know, you've talked about how in your matches, people not only got to worry about, you know, the buns of steel, but all this strength that you've got coming. But for those who don't know or that don't follow you at Double D Rose, you should be. First of all, I always see in your story, I see a lot of puppies, man. So tell me about that.
Puppies? Oh, wait, you're talking about the other
puppies. I'm not talking about Jerry the King Lawler here.
Oh, wrong puppies.
Okay.
My bad.
But that being said, you know, tell me a little bit about that. So I always see you working with all these puppies, man. Is that something? Are you a huge animal person? Any specific kind of dog? You know,
I'm not going to say I've illegally obtained those dogs. But I'm also not going to say it either. So we'll just leave it at that.
Fair. I get you.
Fair enough.
I get you.
AKA, so, yeah.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that some people will use the word stolen, but I like to think it's rightfully obtained, rightfully, or however you want to put it. But I'm not saying that's what I did. I'm also saying that's not what I did.
So I have a cousin who used to rightfully obtain cars.
I mean, Knockouts and Three Counts is a judgment-free zone, kind of like Planet Fitness, except they judge you anyway. So we're not going to judge you here. I have nothing, Deb. What do you got, man? I know you've got a whole list. I know you've got a whole list sitting in front of you. So I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Well, one of the questions I have is that AEW has just signed a fellow wrestler of yours from. Shine and Big Swole. Actually, she's making her debut on Dynamite this Wednesday. So for you, when you see someone that you work with closely get signed to one of the major companies, does that motivate you more to work harder to get to these companies, or are you happy where you are now?
Well, I would always want more. I always want more, and I intend on getting more, and more people can see that as wherever they may be is getting signed or whatever. But basically I want people to know my journey. I want people, because I'm the first female wrestler half blind. Like that's gonna leave a mark regardless. That's gonna have people talking regardless. So I tell, when people ask questions, I tell them I am inevitable. Quote Thanos. I am inevitable. So I love the fact that so many of my friends, so many of the people that I've wrestled, I've seen their hard work, I've seen their journey, and it's paying off. Like, I can't do nothing but cheer for them.
So that brings up a question for me. So those that listen to the show, I've got nothing to hide with it, and I've talked about it ad nauseum here on the show. You know, I grew up with cerebral palsy and I box, so I've never wrestled. But for me, having CP, you know, footwork was always the hard part for me. So for you being half blind, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you feel arise in a wrestling match for you?
Well, the fact that that I have one eye, that I like, it's it's my kryptonite. It shows that I'm human, even though like I'm literally an indestructible force of nature. It still shows that I'm imperfect and that I'm already halfway down. So I have to make sure that, you know, I protect, you know, I watch out. I have to be three times as good because I already have a flaw against me, I would say.
What would you say would be any of the advantages of it?
The advantages?
Yeah. Would there be any advantages to it? Like,
well, people, I guess some people, they see it as a flaw, but like I said, I've been dealing with this my whole life, so this is the normal for me.
Right.
And I guess some people, they see, oh, well, maybe she can't do it. Like, no, like the fact that because a lot of people don't also know, like in the only eye that I had a severe cataract in that. So my vision was like really blurry up until December of 2018. Like, wow. my whole entire wrestling career, I was like practically wrestling blind. Like now that my vision is fixed, now that I can actually see, like, you better be fucking scared. Like, whoever steps in the ring with me, like, I know, my apologies for the swear.
I mean, yeah. Trust me.
We cuss all the fucking time.
Like, I know, like, you know, people are, oh, she's a, like, no, be fucking afraid. I want people, when they talk about me, I want them to say, the only thing that's fake about that world is her glass eye. Like, I wear my heart on my fucking sleeve, and the only thing, yeah, that's fake about me is my fucking glass eye. You better be afraid. If you step in the ring with me, you better be fucking afraid, and you better bring your A game. Don't pity me. Don't feel sorry for me. Look at me as I'm a fucking tornado, because trust me, that's how I'm coming at you.
Being that you talked about your past, you said you grew up in the Atlanta area. What were some of your, since you really got to see, you know, that time, the apex of WCW, you know, real wrestling, who are some of the wrestlers you looked up to when you really, like, kind of influenced you on getting into the actual ring?
Oh, definitely Rikishi.
Okay.
He's one of the reasons why I don't do the stink face. I don't think I could ever do it as good as he could ever do it, ever. That's why my finisher, like, people, you know, I've had fans ask me, how come you never do the stink face? Because, like, me sending you down in a corner and running full speed and hitting you with my buns of steel is going to, you know, it's going to be more devastating than me rubbing my ass in your face. Like, no. He's the fucking king of that.
Of all things to be the king of.
Well, and that, and he did do it for The Rock.
Oh, God. Son of a bitch.
Devin?
Two questions. First question is, have you had a chance to talk to Big Swole or Marty Bell about the panel that they did at StarCast, with the guys from the Corner Podcast, the Wrestling with Stereotypes?
No, I have not. I know Big Swole, she... I read her article on Representation Matters from Rise Wrestling, but no, I haven't seen the Starcade one.
Well, they're going to be doing the third one, and I might be a part of it. I haven't confirmed that yet, but it's going to be taking place WrestleMania weekend before the GCW show. And basically the whole show is about stereotypes in the wrestling business, discussing them. And like I said, Marty Bell's a part of the first one. Big Swole's part of the second one. And honestly, I think you would be a great part of that show. I think you would have a great story to tell.
I concur.
And So just in case it doesn't happen, I'm putting it out there. I think it's going to happen. But just in case it doesn't happen, can you talk about the challenges for an African-American woman that's a thicker African-American woman in the wrestling business, like people like yourself, Faye Jackson, Vanity. What is it like being a, a, a full figure black woman in the wrestling business?
Well, speaking from my experience, you know, everybody wants you to be Awesome Kong. You know, they all want you to be Awesome Kong. They want you to be her, like, not even. And when I say my experience, I mean, like, when I started wrestling out, not now, not present, but wrestling in the South, especially, they all want it. You know, if you were a heavyset black girl, they want it. You know, Awesome Kong. I felt that they weren't ready to not accept, but give more African-American female wrestlers a chance. And I felt that because I felt they felt that the fans would like it too much. And, you know, this whole time they have their certain girls, they have who they want. And, well, bringing in this girl who's obviously better talent, she knows what to do, she knows how to do it, she'll, you know, the fans will probably like her more than the girl that they want. And that's how it was wrestling in the South for me. Now, for the North, I'm not sure because I, you know. But in every place I've wrestled up north, they treated me, they welcomed me with open arms. But yeah, it's just they always wanted you to be the stereotype, the big mean, like big mean monster. And like even to this day, like people get me and Faye Jackson like is confused for the same as the same person, as if we're the same person. It's like we couldn't be more different. Like, oh, you're two black girls with big butts, like you do the same thing. Like if you would just look at us, you would see that we are nothing alike. We are our own identity.
Wow. You know what, it sounds like you got a lot more you want to say about that. So I'm gonna hit up Andreas and Kel.
Kel's watching right now.
What's that?
Kel's watching right now. I tagged him.
Sweet. Yeah, I think you would be a perfect person for that panel.
I would love to be a part of it. I would love. Yeah.
Well, he's listening.
Amazing.
All right. Well, Kel, I'm not trying to book your show, man, but I'm just throwing it out there in the universe.
Fuck it. We booked Blackwell shows already. Why don't we book that next? So that brings up a great question for me. So, like, you know, you talked about how a lot of times people, you know, make you and Faye Jackson, they think that you guys are like the same people. You know, how hard would you say on the female spectrum of wrestling it is for you to be able to differentiate yourself, you know, and make yourself stand out from everybody else with, you know, the rise of, you know, the women's revolution or whatever you want to call it? You know, how hard would you say on a female end is it for you to make yourself stand out from all the other female wrestlers?
I'm going to just say it. I got a fucking eye patch. Like, I got one fucking eye. Like, bring me your fucking best. Like, don't think that just because I'm walking around here half blind that, like, no, bring me your fucking best. Oh, best believe. Oh, I tell people the best thing that ever fucking happened to me was removing my eye and telling the wrestling world about it. It was a huge weight off my shoulders, and it was basically the last piece of the puzzle of who I'm supposed to be. I'm the one-eyed, thick-thighed woad. Like, don't ever think that just because this eye patch or me being half blind is a weakness. It's a flaw. And it's like, and I wear my heart on my fucking sleeve, and, you know, you stepping in the ring with me, bring your A game. Bring everything you got and then some. Because I am a danger in every aspect of that ring.
I love it. And just so you know, Kel commented in there and said he'd be more than happy to have you on Wrestling with Stereotypes Mania Weekend.
Definitely. Definitely. Hell yes. Definitely.
I mean, there you go.
I'll message Kale after the show, man.
I mean,
thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. With that being said, you know, you talked about the Shine Nova the Shine Nova Championship Tournament. Do you know who you got in the first round?
Oh yeah, I got Candy Cartwright.
Tell us a little bit about that and let the fans know what they can expect.
What's there to tell? Like, being a part of the Cutie Pie Club, like, people always thought that she was just the top. People always thought that she, well, Candy, let me rephrase that. Candy always thought she was on top. Candy always thought she was the best. And I found it literally crazy how, like, I know I'm half blind, but she must be completely blind to think everything she's ever gotten was on her own. Candy and I we've been a faction since over a year, and I did what I had to do because it was time to drop the baggage. And that's what Candy Cartwright is. She is baggage. Plus, it's time for the world to get some gold.
Okay.
And it's time for the Shine Nova. It's time. It is fucking time to have a first ever half-blind Shine Nova champ. And I already know who I'm thinking of, so.
I mean.
Like, just beating Candy down is just icing on the cake after I win that title.
Are there any potential matchups in the tournament after you defeat Candy that interest you?
Well, my match with Candy is personal. So, but honestly, I'll take on anybody.
I
would love to face Mercedes Martinez, Kimberly Lee, Alex Gracia, anyone. Danny, I'll take on anyone. Because in order to prove that I am the best, give me the best. Put the best in the ring with me. And I'll show you that this ain't no fucking handicap. This does not, me having one eye does not mean I'm fucking handicapped. It means that your ass should be scared. And I will fucking go through anything, and I will do fucking anything to get what I want. And right now, I want that fucking Shine Nova title.
I like it.
Dev, I just peed a little bit. I'm sorry.
Kev, Dev, your ass is too big to be doing all that, but I mean, I hear you, though.
What? My apologies. My apologies.
You're going to give this guy nightmares now, man. You're going to give this guy nightmares now. With that being said, I mean, we've seen you a couple times now with Shine and things like that. Can you speak a little bit about your thoughts on wrestling here in Detroit and okay, or Livonia, whatever you want to call it? You know, what are your thoughts?
Not what everyone call it. It ain't Detroit.
I mean, it's not.
Just like Kid Rock, you ain't from fucking Detroit. You're from Romeo.
I hear you. That's why I corrected myself. But that being said, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that crowd, because we were just in the building last Friday for Evolve, man, and it seems like every time you guys come out there, whether it's Shine, Evolve, whatever the case might be, man, that crowd gets rowdy. Right. And with that tournament coming, man, I mean, do we need to say any more than what she just said? I mean, it's going to be some fire in that tournament. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the Michigan crowd, since you wrestle primarily in the South.
My match up there, I had a match up against Holiday up in Livonia. Freaking amazing crowd. Like, I love it. I love everything about being up there. They want to see a fight, and I'm going to give them nothing less than a fucking fight.
I mean, she's summing it up, mm-hmm. Deb. So I'm gonna let you take this one, bro.
I'm kind of afraid because I think Double D Rose is fired up right now, and I don't want her to hurt me on Friday.
You do kind of stick out. You do kind of stick out like a sore thumb, too, brother. ain't no hiding, Devin.
Well, Well, I'll just end on this, man. I don't know if I have to sign a waiver, if there's like a selection process or what, but is it possible
Holy
for
shit.
Me to take the Buns of Steel challenge?
I knew it. I said that. I called it.
Well played, sir. Well played, sir.
That gets a damn bell.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, you're not the first to ask this, but I always tell, I say, With comes great power, comes great responsibility.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, so I've had a couple of casualties trying to let non-wrestlers work. I mean, try to do the Buns and Steel Challenge, so.
Careful, Debbie.
That's not something I...
You don't want to end up like old boy on the TV show The Boys. If you've seen the show, you know the rest.
So... I don't know if you're watching the live feed right now, but you've already gained yourself a couple fans because we've got a couple comments from a regular listener to the show. You know, Seath, he wanted you to know the people with a handicap are the best in the business to do it and are the coldest people to do it. They are twice as nice. So you're gaining yourself new fans with this one.
It's not a handicap.
I agree with that. I'm saying what he said, sir. I didn't say that.
Yeah, it's a flaw. It's my fucking kryptonite.
Hey,
that's
I'm with you. Being somebody that's got Crohn's and cerebral palsy, I totally respect it.
Thank you.
No problem at all. With that being said, I mean, we've kept you a little bit. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media, and we've talked about your opponents already this far for this Friday. If you haven't bought tickets yet, for Shine 63 and the madness that I don't even know what we're going to see with Kaiju Big Battle. I'm actually a little scared to see what I'm going to see with that. let those who haven't seen you wrestle before, you know, let them know what they're missing real quick before we let you go and let them know where they can find you on social media and all that good stuff.
I'm on social media as my Facebook like page is The Woe Double D Rose. I'm also on Facebook as Double D Rose. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram as at Double D Rose 01, or just type in The Woe. And for everybody that they don't know my name, but eventually will, you are missing out on something great. And don't try to hop on the crazy train when you see me coming through your town, because if you really want to witness the world at full capacity, then come to Shine this weekend and come see the crowning of the new first ever one-eyed, thick-thighed Shine Nova champ.
Mic drop.
I mean, I think she pretty much just killed it. I mean,
fuck it. Let's go. Fuck it. Go home.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm out.
Well, we appreciate your time, and we can't wait to see you this Friday and watch you get a little get back on Candy Cartwright and take home that Shine Nova Championship.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
No problem
Thank
at
you.
All.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, the weapon of mass destruction, guys. I mean, what can you say?
She'll get a thunderclap from me.
Kyle, I quit.
People understood that one. People got that reference. Randy even chuckled. People got that reference.
Hey, and can I just say, man, like, kind of behind the scenes, man. Whenever we set up these guests, man, you know, you never know how things are going to go. Sometimes they go great. Sometimes you have some challenges. Honestly, this is probably one of the easiest guests to book, and she was more than gracious and helpful in making this happen. So shout out to The Woe. Thank her once again for joining us.
Extremely entertaining.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Oh, she's still on the line. My bad. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I said
that. Randy did this shit on purpose.
If you could only see, oh my God, I wish you could see Randy's face right now.
Jesus Christ. This motherfucker's
face. You thought I was gone.
He thought she was off the phone.
Oh, so that was true. You truly meant
He thought only.
We all meant what we said, but oh my God, if you could only see our producer's face.
He thought it was just the two of us here, and then everybody else is listening on the Facebook live chat. Like, so it would have been a lot of people anyway. So.
That was fucking awesome.
You're still on the air, people. This is what everybody knows.
All right, well, I'll let you guys go for real this time.
Holy shit. That is the best ending to an interview with somebody we've had yet. Oh my God. I wish I would have had my phone ready to take a picture of Randy's face because it was fucking hysterical. Hell yeah, but thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Yes, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, now she's actually off the line, Devin.
Devin heard her breathing. He knew what the hell he was doing.
So nice, but wait a minute.
Hey, I'm not mad at you, player. Shoot your shot, bro. Shoot your shot.
Hey, man, try to get the thunderclaps.
I'm not mad at you, bro. Shoot your shot.
Hey, WWE's got a pay-per-view coming up, and they've done barely any promotion to it.
I mean, what's new with that? Without that being said, talking about promotion, if you're looking for a house, check out the homies at Stransky & Company. They're a top-selling real estate team. You can find them at Stransky & Company on Twitter and Instagram. Email them at StranskyandCompany.com. If you're looking for a house, you know, looking to rent, sell, buy, whatever it might be.
They rent houses too?
I mean, Matt Stransky's your guy. All you got to do, check out their social media. They're all linked on our page as well. They're good friends of the show, and they've been showing us support for quite a while now. So if you're in the market for a house, search no further than Stransky & Company. And if they aren't around you in your area yet, still reach out to them because they're always looking to expand.
Damn.
Church.
I mean, I don't know what better I can say than that. That being said, why don't we jump in a little bit to what's going on currently in the wrestling game right now?
Not wrestling game, no, because I ain't fucking with WWE 2K20. Fuck that. No, I ain't messing with that. Oh, you mean in general? Oh, you ain't talking about shitty wrestling games.
Well,
I ain't even buy.
Tell me how you really feel about 2K20, Kyle. I mean, damn.
I'm glad I saved my damn $60. I'm glad I saved $20 on Black Friday. I'm good. Nah.
I mean, I've played it. It's not that bad. I mean,
damn. The fact that you had to say it's not that bad.
I mean, you just made it like it was like the worst wrestling game of all time.
Worst one this year?
Well, there's only been one this year. That kind of narrows the field. Hey, what the fuck?
You got a 4.4 rating. At IGN,
I didn't say it was great. I just said, damn. With that being said, I mean, Kyle, you just brought up a great point. You know, you've got TLC this weekend, and
really?
I'll be honest. I was just, when I was watching Raw last night, I'm like, wow, TLC's this weekend, and this is the first we're hearing of it. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what more to say about it than that, but I think this further, in my opinion, shows that they've got too many pay-per-views.
I agree. I think you could legitimately do 9. You could do 9 a year. I to me, even though I think there's way too many, I really just the old school fan in me, and this is not Attitude Era, this is just really old school fan in me, I really do not want to see a pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I do not think there should be a pay-per-view in that gap because that, to me, kind of just, it just kind of dilutes some of the feuds you got going.
I can't even argue that, man. I mean, it's, to me, man, I've said it for a while. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a wrestling fan, so I like to see a lot of wrestling. But, I mean, it has to be done right. To me, the best stories you see are the ones that have, like, a six-month build or a year build or something like that. You know, perfect example. Dev, I don't know if you've seen any of the clips from it yet, but I would like to think that The Undertaker kind of explained this the best I've heard anybody talk about it in a while. He was talking about his matches with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Mm-hmm. And when he was talking about those, he said, you know, people look at those as two different stories. To me, that was a year-long story with four different parts in the story.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that's the way wrestling is at its best. Mm-hmm. When you're waiting like, shit, what are they going to do next? Mm-hmm. And then they take you on a quick turn.
When they announced Sean was going to be the special guest referee when he had his match with Triple H, I almost pissed myself because I did never think I was seeing HBK again. And then seeing him again, that, well, not counting Crown Jewel, but, you know, that actually, you know, excited me because I'm like, oh, shit, this is something going to happen. Sean going to do something, you know. So that was built up beautifully.
So with that being said, you know, you just brought up a great point, and Dev, I'd love to hear you chime in on this. You know, you were talking about how you think there shouldn't be a pay-per-view in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Well, it's already been said by AEW that they're going to have mm-hmm. like their four main pay-per-views. They're mm-hmm. going to basically be quarterly.
They need to have better names for them.
Dev, tell me what your thoughts are on the build on pay-per-views in general, not just WWE, but I mean, to me, I like that AEW is doing that way. And do you think that that is a smarter way for wrestling to be booked?
I think so, man, especially for a company that's, you know, what, basically 3-4 months old right now. Mm-hmm. Basically they're building their way to the WWE did back in the day, the four pay-per-views. And basically, what this is doing for them is basically making everybody watch the television. The pay-per-views are big. It's, you know, it's more revenue for them, you know, and all that. But if you want to see these stories develop, you want to see stories pay off, you're getting that with the television, too. With them going head-to-head with NXT, it lets you see that, hey, our television is more important for us. And with mm-hmm. NXT doing the same thing, too, they run four pay-per-views, well, takeovers a year. So I think it's a really good model.
Mm-hmm. It's like a circle. You know, you have the TV show to build up the pay-per-view, and then from the pay-per-view, you want to watch the TV show to see what happens next. It seems like some other companies just think just because you have the pay-per-view, you can just do something at the pay-per-view and then it'll get you to watch. And I think it's kind of like selling a hamburger without, you know, giving somebody the toppings. You know, you want to actually let them know they have everything in there. And if you just give them one part, it's not going to lead into the other.
Very fair, right. Very fair point.
I think it makes these pay-per-views more important. Like I said, with WWE, there's 12 of them, you know, pay-per-view 3 weeks
14
later. 14
counting the Crown Jewels.
So the pay-per-views mean more when there's less of them. Like this, I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but this weekend NWA is having their first pay-per-view.
I definitely would like to talk about that mm-hmm. because I think that's going to be fucking great.
That is just great. It's just a great product of Cornette notwithstanding.
Dev, no comment. Yeah, bullshit. Bullshit. Anyone that watches Dev05 Live, which is what he's calling his segment now, knows completely how you feel about Jim Cornette at this point.
It's the goddamn taco meat lunch special. Would we copy like that shit? Damn it. I told y'all put that shit on a shirt.
But real quick, I mean, since you brought it up, I'll mention it real quick. Yeah, honestly, Jim Cornette is honestly one of my favorite people in wrestling. He's a wealth of wrestling knowledge. There was no better person to have on that announce team for the NWA than Jim Cornette. Problem is,
he's Jim Cornette.
he fucked himself, man. So hey, I mean,
you know the shit you can't say now. Else. That's nothing. Like you can't say certain things that we could say 15, 20 years ago, we can't say now. And that's just how shit is. But but, you know, 20 years ago, there were words that you couldn't say from the 1970s, you know? So it's not that surprising social norms, but it's just like, dude, like, then it was a bad euphemism to me, too. I'm like, that euphemism was old. I'm like, you said that literally back in the 90s. I saw a soundbite from saying that same thing.
I was
going to
say, Mark
90s.
Henry talked about that, you know? On Busted Open.
And
that.
I'm like, It ain't even a funny anecdote. Like, it's not even good.
Yeah, I had to say, when you said it, I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Let me break this down for a second. Oh, I see what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to break it down that much. That shit landed like a Tiffany Haddish joke.
Well, you know, and it's funny. We were talking about... Wow.
The broad ain't funny.
We were talking about, before we went on the air, interview that I listened to with Chris Van Vliet and Austin Aries. So in the interview, he was talking about the whole situation that happened some years back with him and Christy Hemme, and like how he didn't intend for some of the things to go the way they did, but just how, you know, the way people would get heat back in the day compared to the things that you're able to do now because of how much more sensitive of a culture we live in, man. Mm-hmm. It just changes the way that you can do things in wrestling.
Think of X-Pac heat versus Nia Jax heat.
Yeah, I mean, a good point there. Into the Fire is going to be a great show. I'm interested to see what they do with their first pay-per-view here. And it's going to be on Fight TV, which, again, I think is another smart move because it makes it to where a lot more people are able to get their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. So here's the funny thing about that. So Allison Kay, she's going to be defending – well, I know she's not defending her title, but she has a match. And Marty Bell is a part of that match as well. But they're also going to be here – that's on Saturday. They're going to be here Friday. Well, it'll be there in Detroit on Friday for Shine. So I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work.
They're going to be tired.
I mean,
they're going to be tired. That's a lot of driving.
That's fuck it. Driving. You know, that's AK life. Always says she's a savage, bro. So we're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
go to Shine this Friday, people.
We'll be there, and we're probably going to be bringing you some pretty dope content from there as well, so stay tuned to our YouTube and Facebook pages. With that being said, Into the Fire, we've talked about that. We've talked about TLC. Let's not forget about the badass card that's coming this Saturday for the UFC. You've got Usman versus Covington, which... couldn't be that. Any more heel babyface if they tried. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with that fight. Dev, give me your thoughts real quick on the UFC card this weekend.
If anybody has ever listened to me talk on this show, I talk about how criminally underutilized certain talents are in the UFC. And this is another example of how terribly UFC markets some of their best talent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to call it, the greatest woman's fighter of all time is on this card and nobody gives a damn. Amanda Nunes is defending her title.
You got a point there. You got a point.
On this card and nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. They don't talk about it. They're not pushing.
Ever since Ronda left, it seems like they really just, you know, don't treat their women's division as much as they did because they don't have that one star. But, you know, man, Nunez, I knew about her before I knew about Rousey.
I disagree with that. I think I've got my thoughts on why it is, but if this was Paige VanZant and not Amanda Nunez, they would be pushing the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. She's the greatest. She's literally defeated everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all champions of the past in UFC history, she's pretty much beaten them all.
Yeah.
All right. And we would be remiss to talk about UFC without talking about, first of all, I'm going to give my thoughts on it first. And Dev, since I know you watched the fight, you're more than happy to chime in afterwards. So past guest of the, yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Past guest of the show, Cody Stamann, went to war this past weekend, UFC DC. Now, before I say anything, for all of you motherfuckers that are going to say that I'm just hopping on Cody's bandwagon because he was a past guest of the show.
Fuck you, Joe.
The guy that he fought is a fucking savage. He fought a good fight. That's why the fight was so close, especially considering the guy got a point taken away from him in the first round.
I know that part.
But with that being said, I don't understand how the fuck you can lose a fight in which your opponent already lost a point in said round, was taken down twice in said round. I think Cody lost the second round, clearly, but in the third round, beat the living shit out of the guy and finished with the fight in mount and was pounding the shit out of him. I think that that decision was bullshit, but Dev, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
If you want to see... All right, I always say, you know, stats tell a story, but they don't tell the whole story. But if you look at the stats from this fight, basically every single category, Cody dominated. 5 takedowns. His opponent had none. Strikes, significant strikes. I think the only thing his opponent won was like leg strikes. But every single statistical category, Cody dominated that shit. And like you said, he ended the fight basically about to finish the shit. And you come up with a majority draw. Robbery, man. And I think it's one of those, hey, this is the guy that we're pushing right now. Cody was supposed to be a stepping stone, and Cody messed up their plans. I think that's what it was.
I mean, I can't really argue that, because Kyle, I don't know if you watched the fight or not.
I didn't get to watch it, but I did see a lot of people I didn't even think that were actually in the MMA actually talking about it. And it's controversial.
I mean, like I said, man, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, and again, this is not biased because he's on the show. I honestly feel if you just look at the stats like Devin talked about, and if you watch the fight, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Cody smoked the guy by any means, because obviously you can't say that or the fight wouldn't have been that close. But that being said, I think even if you look at it from like a layman's way of looking at a fight, right? Most people, when they look at a fight, they look at fights. Who was on top more? Who hit the other guy more? Who had more damage? You know, who had more takedowns? Cody won all of those.
This was like 6 minutes of the fight. Like 6 minutes of the fight, Cody was in the dominant position compared to like, I think it was like 1 minute and 11 seconds. What does that tell you? He was in control for more than a round of the fight. I don't know.
So I'm a little bummed that out of all the questions we asked Double D that we didn't get our famous locker room question in. But that being said, how the hell, why does Alistair Overeem look like he got bit by a dog right now?
Rest in peace to Alistair Overeem's lip. That ooh, dude.
Man, I actually got mad somebody shared that, because I wasn't trying to see that shit at 6 a.m. That shit fucked my day up.
Look, I'm just gonna say, I don't know if he bit through his mouthpiece and maybe bit his lip, or
shit. That's a big bite. You must have Alvin.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you're getting hit by a heavyweight and bite your lip in the process, it's very possible that
looked like it was almost up in his damn nose. Like, whew.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't look like he bit it. If you seen like the slow motion gifs of it, it looked like his lip literally exploded when he hit him. Like that's probably like that's definitely one of the top three most gruesome things I've ever seen in an MMA fight. That Sakuraba's ear falling off.
Oh god. Oh yeah.
And I can't remember her name. Leslie Smith. I think her ear exploded once.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh
yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, those ones are always nasty ones.
Spider's leg.
And either way you go, man, I mean, there were definitely highlights from this past weekend's card, and I definitely think this weekend, which there will be an After the Bell segment coming with that, there's plenty of good fights to come out of here. We're finally going to see if Colby Covington can back up his mouth. And I thought it was kind of funny when I was watching the, you know, lead in to the fight, whether it be the countdown or whatever, you know, they're calling him the captain of American Top Team, but I find that funny because it seems like the majority of American Top Team can't stand the motherfucker. I mean, I may not know a lot of people at American Top Team, but I can see with my own eyes. That being said, man, we're getting close to the end of our time here. Like we said, you know, Shine 63 this Friday, Kaiju Big Battle. Going to be a great show. We are going to be in the building, and stay tuned to all of our social medias as we're going to be bringing you some great content from there, and bringing you some very special guests. We've got UFC, you've got Into the Fire, you've got TLC. I mean, if you're fans of either one of our demographics, which if you're listening to the show, in case, unless you just love us, I mean, in that case, we love you too.
We take that. But we take all love.
Exactly. But I'm assuming that since you're listening, you're a wrestling and MMA fan. I mean, what more could you really ask for out of a weekend?
Sex.
Well, that too, but I mean,
no, yeah. Being honest.
I mean, you're the
sex
one.
Sex a couple of sex and a couple thousand dollars. I mean,
again, I'm not mad at you for that. But with that being said, we're going to be covering all that stuff for you. Again, we'll be in the building Friday, Shine 63. Well, I think that's about it for us. So, Kyle, throw out your social media. And are we going to see your ass on the show more often, motherfucker?
Fucking tired. Got a job.
So I'm why? That's weak.
Trying.
Shit's weak.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. You follow me, I'll follow you back. You don't have to be afraid to follow me when we got a couple thousand followers, you know, and get, you know, likes and shares. You can follow us all back. It's okay. We don't be scared. You can find me on Facebook at Kyle J. Campbell. You can also find my other show, Wakanda Podcast Is This, W-A-K-I-N-D-A. Podcast Is This. You can find the Facebook group on Facebook, and you can find the podcast literally everywhere you listen to a podcast. Stay tuned for our show coming up this week talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Dev, what about you?
Infinite Earths. I like that. Yeah. I'm Devin. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the debut of All Steak No Sizzle January 6th.
Day before your birthday.
What was that?
Day before your birthday, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Look at that. January he remembers 6th. Your birthday, too.
My mom and my baby sister and like three other people I know have the exact same birthday.
Well, fuck you, man. I was trying to make it sound all special and shit, but you ruined that.
I'm fucking haunted by Capricorns.
Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.
More, more,
thank
more.
You for letting us know that, punch Randy. Dick, and last but...
Punch Dick. More, more, more. Punch Dick. More, punch Dick. More, punch Dick. More, more, more.
Oh, you my God.
Probably not a good idea to insult something that is given to us for free.
Dude, why...
Oh, shut the fuck up. You were just laughing to the shit.
What am I supposed to say?
He's like, yeah, man.
This isn't South Park, motherfucker. Anyway, with that being said, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook. And again, if you're going to be at Shine 63, make sure you're there. Come say what's up to us. And with that being said, fuck your couch.